You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, everyone. It is Wednesday, October 27th, and I'm here with, say your name.
Yeah, I'm here.
And Diogenes.
Welcome, everyone. We're here to do a special live stream all about doing something different. I spoke with Critical Thinker earlier in the week, and we felt like there was a lot of minutia going on in the chats, and people sounding like they were getting bogged down and feeling a bit low energy, getting into the details of all this corona stuff. And as we always say, the devil is in the details. So we feel everyone's focusing on details too much and just spinning their wheels, wasting their precious energy. And at the beginning of each day, we all get our own boost of energy, and I think it's a great equalizer for everyone to realize nobody gets more or less. We all get the same. We start the race the same way, and you get to choose how to use that energy. So we think you should choose wisely.
Anybody? Yeah, and to add to that, I think it's also, you know, everyone's got a different situation and a different circumstances, and we all have good days, bad days. Just it's just more about, I suppose, gaining a bit more focus if we're right. If we're going to survive this thing.
It's better to lift each other up rather than pile on to the. And yeah, you're right, everyone. Sometimes we do have bad days, and it's best to remember that we can always have. It'll turn around tomorrow. So and I think a lot of people focus on the research, and it's my opinion that the research is, it seems that getting, that's more details. We do have all the information we need, and as far as I'm concerned, we shouldn't worry about the systems that are going down. We should look forward to the systems that we can build up that are going to be more more for us than, you know, living in the same old system that has never been for us. And I think, we get upset that people are losing their jobs, but maybe they need to lose those jobs working in government or some of these systems, health insurance systems that are not serving us anymore. So maybe they need to move on and look for something that's more serving and uplifting and helping everyone else.
Yeah, which is why I'm a big proponent of, anyone, when they get the chance to step into self-employment, you know, if and when possible, and to be able to be in a position to self-govern and occupy more in the private rather than the public. And I think that's where a lot of these jobs lie, is in public sectors, and I think it can be quite a trap for a lot of people to feel they're stuck in those sorts of roles,
right,
and being employed all the time, when if we can all find that little kind of spirit to be a bit more entrepreneurial, I think is a great way to start that sort of energy.
All these services that they're denying people who haven't taken the magic juice, there's a lot of services that people are going to be needing, you know, haircuts and, you know, I don't know, whatever face-to-face things that they're not wanting, you know, people are afraid of, or for whatever reason they're deciding you need a vaccination for. You know, a lot of services are going to be opening up for people who don't want to go that path. So in a way, it's a great time to, you know, as they say, build another path. This is, again, a good reason to get together with other people who are like-minded. They're all out there. I'm finding more and more every day. And I think even the people who have taken the the magic juice are realizing that it's unsustainable, and they gotta join our side, or the side of humanity, that we gotta do something different, not hold up these systems that have, you know, it quite frankly, it's like I said, we all know these systems have never served us, and it's a good thing that we can turn our backs on them and create our own uplifting and a better world for our children.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but even when this all started, after the break.
I'm Broken Locks from Christchurch.
Dee Dee from Portland.
Jungle Jim.
Resma Jeff.
Doug Kelly.
Adam from Florida.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I was saying that at the beginning of this, that was a big feeling amongst a lot of people. I felt that this bigger than man, what had just occurred. And it wasn't quite the usual tactic that powers that be would normally play. They were much more of a tiptoe game, the slow boiling frog, but it just seemed too much too soon to be a normal tactic. And I mean, yeah, we can dig into the details and work out why we think that is. But at the end of the day, it left me with a feeling that there was something bigger going on, regardless of who it was, what it was, who was at fault, who was victim. It always felt that it was some sort of divine thing. It was a big deal, and it still is. And and that's not taken away from how evil it is at the same time. It's kind of it's got both of those forces playing, at this. But it was, it's definitely something I felt at the time, and I keep having to go back to that to try and remind myself that, something bigger is going on, and we need to try and capture that ourselves and use it to our best advantage.
Right, but I think what a big thing to everyone needs to remind themselves that really it's like the Wizard, if you remember in the Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy was talking to the wizard and the big head was scaring them shitless, and the dog brings back the curtain on the guy behind the machines there. It's all smoke and mirrors, and everything that they 100%. Keep bleating at us on a daily, they have to do it every day to keep everybody in under spell. And it's just, they just keep saying the same thing over and over again. And, until we believe it, and they say, repetition is, whenever they say something, you start to believe it after repetition. But so, which is my, someone, today just in the Telegram, I sadly reprimanded someone because they said they started the chant, "You will own nothing and you will be happy." And I said, "Don't say that. Stop saying that. You're bringing it into fruition by giving it energy." So we have to do our job by speaking our what we want, what is in our hearts, and not, because it's a war. It's an information war. And I remember it's in the air. It's basically in our minds, meaning that someone once said that World War III was going to be fought in the air, and here we are. It's just like over the air. The media keeps chanting, and all these politicians come forth and they say their little press conference, and as we are finding out, a lot of what they say is just that, a press conference. There's no meat behind it. There's no law. There's no, it's just we and these people that are supposedly in charge. Where did they come from? Who are they? They are not elected officials. They're just health people, and they're calling themselves public health, whatever. And there's no such thing as public health. Health is individual and private. And we need to just start remembering all these things so that, if you are up against someone who is, you're trying to convince, there are very basic things that, these are things you can remind them, and the power that we have is in ourselves, and they're never going to they could take our money, but they're not going to take our souls and our energy. We'll always have that.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, and I think it's probably easier said than done for most as well. But it's, at the end of the day, what choice have you got? You can dig into the detail and get down about it and let it have an effect on your life in that way. Or we can choose to see it as the spells being created with those around us acting upon the spells. But, we also have the ability to cast our own spells in a good light, to be able to manage, our own journey that way. it's, yeah, I mean, if
We've not been taught to direct ourselves. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's all. It was, I was going to say it's, I've lost my train of thought now. Sorry.
That's all right. I was just going to say as well that, we've not been taught that way. All we've been taught is to obey authority, do what the teacher says, do what your boss says, do what the president says. And again, it's just, we got to do something different. Change your minds and, just start making your own good energy, which means it basically just doing what brings you happiness and puts love in your heart. Everybody has something that, you know, that fulfills them, that they love to do. You lose time when you're involved in it. It just puts you in your happy place. And I think that's the place to start. Start doing this and creating more energy for yourself that way. And then you can radiate that energy out to others. And this is a great way to, you know, have, you know, push out your influence because others will feel it. And the people that you want to attract will come to you and you can create more that way as well.
Yeah, and the even just like you said before, like, you know, every morning you've got an opportunity to choose, you know, choose may be a strong word, you know, there may be something else, you know, you can exchange for that, but that feeling of through will, whether, you know, you have good moods and bad moods, anytime right. You're in a bad mood, you know, it can be a knock-on effect of things not quite working out, but when you're in a good space and a good energy and a good mood, things work for you, and it's, you know, there's a lot of power in that. You can manifest a lot of good stuff for yourself
exactly. With
all that, and it's just, if you were to choose between those two, why wouldn't you not give that a go? Like, why would you choose to assume right. The worst or you, be stuck between, in that rut?
Yeah, it's between you and you.
Yeah.
You can decide. So yeah, again, you know, focus on fear. You're going to get more fear. You focus on anger. You'll get more anger, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's your choice.
A lot of this sounds like, you know, it's the sort of thing you'd be trying to explain to a normie and whatnot. But even in these circles, even like the whole conspiracy culture from the get go has been based on fear as well. You know, like yeah. We've fallen trapped to it just as much as any normie has. So it's, you know, but we can't then also, you know, sit in that and play victim without it either. It's, you know, we have got an opportunity because to have eyes to see. So therefore, let's use those eyes to see and move forward with this.
Right. And do something different. Those are all my bullet points. Anybody want to jump in? We have a few other people that have joined us. We have Dr. Fosterkluck, Linda Curtis, and Babette. Anybody else wants to jump in? Feel free.
Yeah, I could say something about this, I think, if you don't mind.
Cool.
So my experience has been largely related to psychology, mental health. I focus very much on emotions and things like that. I've had a lot of experiences with people with emotional problems and certainly with my own emotional problems. And one of the things that I've had to deal with a lot over the years has been depression. And that depression is largely caused by the experiences that I have in the world. There's a lot to be angry about. There's a lot to be fearful of. There's a lot to make you despair. And I had a turning point at some point when I realized, the thing about the depression is, in a depressive episode, it brings suicidal feelings. It brings a longing for death. And this is something, it's a dark subject, but, you know, I'm sure everybody at least experiences at least once this thought of, you know, to be or not to be. And it's something that would come up with me a lot. And I had a breakthrough when I realized that there is a duality to it. And what I mean by this is it was never, I didn't actually want to die. That was never my first choice. I actually wanted to live. This is where the sadness was coming from. It was coming from not just a sort of a displeasure with the way things are, but a love of how things could be. So I despise misinformation because I love the truth, right? I despise suffering and being unhappy and seeing other people unhappy because what I really love is seeing people happy. And I love things being right. And so I realized that this sadness and this depression was coming from something inside me that I hold certain things sacred. And so I think it's very, very important to recognize that any despair that you're feeling, any anger, any sense of injustice that you're feeling is because of certain values that you have and certain things that you wish would be. And within that, that's like a light that you have inside of yourself. You know, it's like we don't like seeing this world where everybody's isolated, because what we appreciate is a world where people are together and they're free. So holding on to that love of freedom and reminding yourself of what it is that you're fighting for, why it is that you're annoyed in the first place, what it is that you actually want to see in the world can be very, very important, because no matter how much people try to demoralize you, they've not defeated you. If you hold on to your ideals and you hold on to what it is that you consider sacred and you try to manifest it in whatever small way you can in the world around you. So if we're living in a world where it's very difficult to have free conversation, free discussion with people and engage with open minds with one another, that can be very infuriating. But what you can do is try to create opportunities for open conversation and take pleasure in whatever small victories you can achieve in that regard. Because, you know, I mean, there's no sense just raging against the machine, shall we say. You know, we have to, if there's something that we are holding on to that we consider important, it falls on us to make it happen in the world around us. And that's a reason for being, almost, or it can be. I feel like I rambled a lot there, but...
No, that was great.
Mm.
Well, there you just proved, like you just said, you love the idea of people being together, so you focus on that and you will draw that to you. You know, you just place an intent in your head and to point yourself in the direction, and all the people that are in that mindset will appear. It's happened to me. I have to say, I've met more people than, I mean, I remember before this whole thing happened, I was thinking about, gee, you know, how do you meet new people, you know, and I just figured, well, and I just thought about it. It would be nice to have, you know, some really good friends, people to talk to that are in your mindset. I just thought about it. I imagined it in my head. And this was last year. And then, I decided to come on this Discord and I found all these lovely people to talk to every day. And it's been great and has, you know, sent me on to, and I thought, well, gee, it would be nice to have people in real life to, you know, hang out with and do stuff with. And, you know, it's happened, and I've been meeting all these wonderful people who are, in the same mindset and are working towards all these, new systems. So, you know, you just gotta look at it, and maybe all those other people are still out there doing all their whatever. That's fine. They can do their juice and have at it. But as long as you're finding other people that you can hang with and do stuff with, you're going to be fine. And it's awesome. Oh, we have a new person, Naturally Mitchell. Welcome. Anybody else take a shot? Go ahead.
there's a big part. I'm sure, you know, everyone experiences even moments where you could be driving or you could be walking and you think about someone, and all of a sudden, or you think you saw someone, but it wasn't quite them. But the next corner you turn, it is actually them. And so there's clearly something at play with all these synchronicities of your intent. You know, that's, we prove it to ourselves over and over. So, you know, sure, we can't ignore that we have that sort of ability to have some sort of control over our reality. You know, it's not all, you know, if we give up all of our, what would you call it? All of our, yeah, well, intent is the only word I can think of, but
right,
through the spells that are constantly created, even in our own circles, it's,
yes.
Yeah, if we're going to keep handing it over to that, then yeah, there is no hope. But
exactly,
take that back.
All the technology we have is it's all in our minds. We have such powerful imaginations, and they have, you know, they have harnessed all this technology based on, you know, our own abilities naturally. So, you know, we just need to take back the control, and it's, you know, they don't control us unless we give them control. So, people just need to recognize in themselves, you know, and if everybody recognized this whole business would be over in 2 seconds, you know, cause it's just, it's just all in our heads. We're creating it essentially. All the people that are fearful. of the
everyday actions as well.
Yes.
So like where you shop, where you spend your money, what you eat, what you do for work, how you speak to people, how you, all these different actions you do in your day contribute to what then reflects back to you. So it's, if you're still participating in things that you think that, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing that, or, you know, I don't think that's feeding the right sort of energy, then yeah, it's time that we start to adjust those things. And I find that anyway, the more I try and operate in, more of a private status as much as I can. I get all my fruit veg from a private farm nearby, and I try and shop that way in general. And I think just those small actions, day to day, sort of then reflect back onto you and how you
navigate. Exactly. And also puts you in contact with the people who are probably thinking the same way. So, and they have a network, and then you have, you just keep growing from there. But we have a big network here too, even though we're not all in the same space. But I do know, lots of people here have had meetups and, gotten together where they can. So, that's something too, everyone can do to look into. There's so many new people here. I've been amazed at looking at all the new names, and it's nice to see, that we're still getting people in. So that's evidence, I think, that people are looking for us. Is that right, Naturally Mitchell? Would you like to speak? I guess not. Anyone else?
I'll chime in. I think it was Diogenes who brought up the disinformation or whatever in his little but anyway. Yeah.
Presentation.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a word for it. But anyway, is it disinformation or influence that actually gets you angered or depressed? Or you see what I mean? It's like you're giving yourself over to something that you probably don't, or letting other people influence you. And then once you let that go, then you can have control over your own mind.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Well, that's the thing, because Critical was saying that, he was talking about eating fresh produce and things like that. You can control what goes into your body, and that's a good thing to do. But you can also control what goes in your mind. And a lot of forces are out there right now fighting for real estate in the landscape of your mind. But if we can regain that control and realize that actually we decide, and if people want us to be afraid, people want us to despair, but they don't have authority over our minds, we do, then we can change the landscape of our own mind and resist the influence that's coming from outside.
Yeah, and I think that includes like all the information coming out about how bad the vaxes are and all that stuff, because that just sends you down not a good path.
We started with that as well, that we can focus on either side and get the fear porn, and it's doing just as much damage. And just walking out your front door and seeing there's birds singing and the sun is shining, and if you're lucky, you'll see children out playing in the park or whatever, and you see that life is just as it was 2 years ago. There's not bodies stacking up in the street or mayhem. Life is good. Life is moving on.
Yeah, when you choose to focus that way, definitely it is. But I mean, I still get caught up in the opposite of that at times. It's particularly when, say, someone close to you is deciding to get on board the new religion, and you thought they weren't going to, and then suddenly they do. That can throw you right back to square one, really. It feels like you're almost being defeated. But it takes some inner work to then get over that too, come out the other side, and just try and gain strength from each of those moments. That's all it can do.
And each time you gain strength. So, like we were speaking of before, if you learn something from it, that's not wasted time. It's strength building, just like lifting weights or, if find the find the extra motivation the next time. It's like there was this thing about, you know, you walk down the street and there's a big hole and you fall in it, and then, you know, you struggle to get out, and the next time, you know, you walk down the street and you still fall in the hole, but you know a better way to get out, and then the next time you walk down the street, you see the hole and you walk around it and you don't fall inside of it. So it's just a process. And if you look at it that way and, you know, not beat yourself up for falling in the hole, you just learn to walk
and
around it.
That's something we were talking about the other day, is that, you know, most of us have been into this sort of information for long enough that we should realize that there are a hell of a lot of rabbit holes that we've got lost down in the past that we've then learned later on that have been, you know, sort of part of the program. And it's having the humility to realize that and remember that each time you think you're discovering something new, or there's some new damning information that's going to change everything, it's a game changer. But it's having the humility to remember that all this information can just, it's just a pinch of salt or an ounce of salt, whatever you prefer. But it's,
right.
Take it for what it is. It's just more information, and you can choose to take it on board as being true, or you can choose to take it on board as not. And
they're changing the landscape as we speak. You know, YouTube is constantly taking stuff down, and obviously there's new stuff that comes up. So yeah, you just don't know what to trust anymore.
Yeah, but then again, it's that whole. Sorry, you go.
I think the point that I was trying to make, though, that all the information that's coming out on both sides or whatever, it's influencing. So I try to stay out of that. I don't want anything influencing my mind to where it's going to take my mind, you know, in what I feel would be a wrong path or whatever. Like, you know,
influence
what I mean?
Like, is influenza.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of people are going down the graphene oxide, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just try to stay out of that rabbit hole too, because there's no proof for that either. So it's like, why let it influence your thought process?
I think the reason a lot of that stuff does seem engaging to some people is that it can make sense when they describe it mathematically or scientifically, you know what I mean? So they can use all these words and numbers, you know, part of that sort of, part of the spell really, to prove that this thing exists and that this is its purpose, this is the reaction and the action and all that. So on one level it can be proven in that sense, but then people then adopt that as being a new truth rather than then taking that on board to understand, is that biologically possible within our own bodies for that reaction to happen? And as soon as you bring it into your own real world observation, I find that most of it falls apart very quickly.
And
I think there is definitely fear to be found on both sides, because it's like, you know, you got one side afraid that there's this deadly pandemic and that these unvaccinated people are threatening existence and all this. And then on the other side, you've got fear that you know, everybody's under this mind control and that the world is going to end. And there's such despair in it. And there's despair on both sides. So if there was somebody interested in making it so as many people despaired as possible, it would be working, you know.
They're winning.
So it's important to look into, you know, obviously don't bury your head in the sand and escape into some fantasy, but when you're dealing with monsters, when you're dealing with bad things, it's important to take care of yourself at the same time, to come up for air once in a while, like whatever you can do to lighten your spirits so you don't get bogged down into that trap of fear that affects your ability to reason and it demotivates you. Whatever you can do, you know, you're winning.
Right. Especially since we've been in this thing for over a year and everybody says 18 months, but it's just keeps going. So, you know, we have to, take those steps and keep ourselves out of the toilet, so to speak, the swirling waters.
I was just gonna say, it's like the Energizer Bunny digging holes. they keep digging holes, and people go down them and get, you know. And I'm just trying to stay on solid ground, at least in my mind. You know what I mean? I think that's
definitely
pretty safe.
Mm-hmm. It's you know, and you look back over the last two decades or so, you know, where this sort of realm has been quite prominent. It's if you look at all the past predictions of doom, you find an example where it's actually occurred. You know, it's not there, other than what's just happened. But I feel this is slightly different. But any prediction of end of days and this, and shortages and you know, huge weather disasters or whatnot, none of it actually manifests. It's always just the fear of it that, you know, can sort of keep you trapped in that for a while. Which,
yeah,
you know,
I remember after.
So you're not.
Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's it. Yeah, that's fine.
But anyway, when cell phones was coming out or whatever, there was a lot of people out there calling doom and gloom on them too. Like they would give you brain cancer and, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, that's not happened either. I know no one. Everybody that I know has a phone and no one has, you know, brain cancer and all that stuff for talking on it or whatever. And cancer existed before the cell phones. So.
Sure. And this is something I was pointing out the other day was, that of course no one's saying that the vaccines are any good in any way whatsoever, but it's they've placed it in a position where it's become the obvious target for the damage, where if that seems on purpose, because there is enough information there to be against vaccines, there's plenty of information there, so it's becoming the obvious target of what's gone wrong. Yet there are a million ways you can poison the human body. Everything, what you bathe in, what you drink, what you eat, what you breathe, clothes, everything. So it's an endless list of ways that the body will get toxic. You know,
exactly, and the
obvious one is. I would argue that if something's being placed as obvious one, then I'd hesitate to suggest that it may not be the one.
The pills, all the pills that everyone's taking. It's like the medical system in general, that's been here for over 100 years. And I think we can see an uptick in general malaise, you know, just all the things that people have. I was thinking about that the other day, you know, from when we were children, and I grew up in the 70s, you know, there was the big breakout of people with asthma. And now it's like, gosh, you got all kinds of stuff like headache and allergies, you know, the migraine headaches, the severe allergies, stomach, you know, malaise or whatever that they're constantly talking about, the bowel syndromes. You know, just all these things that young people are getting these days, it's kind of worrisome, at least, you know.
Which I'm sure the vaccines have got a big part in that. I would never deny that.
Well, I mean, the food and the, you know, everything that's being pushed. Like I said, it's the influenza. They used to call it the affluenza too, even, you know, I remember there was a documentary about affluenza, which, you know, of the American population that we just have too much stuff and, you know, just the whole materialism and marketing, which, you know, the way I view this whole corona thing is just a huge marketing campaign, gone, you know, on steroids, basically.
It's the market.
And at the end of the day, there's no denying that there's something quite sinister behind the whole thing, you know. And I don't think anyone's not trying to suggest that, but they clearly have shut down the world. You know, I remember Ab had some of John LeBron's guys on the other day, and was it Maddie V and Phuket, and him explaining, you know, what's happened to Thailand. Completely, the whole tourist thing is just gone. It's finished, done. And, you know, all the locals are acting, you know, oh, next month we'll open back up, we'll get tourists, it's fine. So there's clearly been an ultimate halt and reset going on. I'm not denying that in any way, but that's their influence. And then it's kind of, I do feel that a lot of it is up to us how we then rebuild that.
Right. It's definitely, like you said, there's nobody, I mean, none of these people is government. They're not any elected officials that are making all these, you know, even OSHA and, you know, the public health department. It's like somebody came out on TV one day and diagnosed everybody as sick. And, and then it's like action. The director called the start of the play.
Yeah, it's the new original sin. You're just automatically sick.
Exactly.
Whether you're, you know, you can run marathons every day and be perfectly healthy, never go to the doctor, never take medicine or eat healthy and all that stuff, and you're still sick.
Exactly.
Until
the test tells you otherwise. The test is your whatever. So, that was pretty much what I think we wanted to present. So if anybody wants another topic to introduce? Busterclex?
Hey, you guys, it's Dr. Busterclex here.
The doctor! The doctor is in the house.
Hello?
I'm broken down in Rabbit Valley. I broke my axle. I think that'll be like $200 or $300. I've got free towing. They're coming in the morning, but I'm broken down.
Oh.
In Rabbit Valley. I'm almost to Utah. I'm right off. I can see I-70 in the distance. I'm like a 3/4 of a mile south of the interstate that runs like horizontally through east and west through Colorado. But I'm almost to Utah, and then I read some reviews that Rabbit Valley, it's a good place to park your RV, and I must have taken a wrong turn, and I crunched my, anyway, so I'm having some minivan trouble.
Sounds but like a rabbit hole, Dr. Festercluck.
I haven't seen any rabbits, but...
I thought you were going to Arizona.
I'm on my way to Arizona. I got all the way over the Rocky Mountains. That's what I-70 goes over, all the mountains. And so now I'm on the western slope, but it's very nice. It's a good place to break down. And there were some strange birds making sounds. And I've got lots of bars. I could press the video button, maybe. Jesus.
You gotta go.
We're on the audio, but we're on the audio stream. I'd get in trouble. So yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, don't pull a Rolo.
Yeah, I won't pull a Rolo. No,
you can post pictures. Maybe you can post a picture on the live stream. Yeah.
See what I can do.
We don't use our bandwidth.
Yeah, the bandwidth. File size. All that. Yep, so the tow truck's coming in the morning, and then I'm pretty sure that it's the axle, and that makes it so it won't go into gear, and that I haven't damaged the transmission, that it's just the... Anyway, you get what you pay for.
Was that the leaky transmission? Didn't you have a leak at one point?
Oh, yeah, that's not... I think the transmission's okay, unless I fucked it up trying to...
This is a new problem.
Yeah, it's a new problem.
Mm,
well, so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I've been researching, and I have a Facebook group that's about my model of minivan. And the consensus seems to be that it might just be a like $200 to $300 repair. So just the CV axle joint thing. That's what happened in my other van, too. So not the end of the world, perhaps. Or maybe it's going to the junkyard and I'm getting on a bus. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Oh dear. Well, if you had to get on a bus, what does that mean? Where will you go on a bus? Back home?
Yeah, I could figure something out.
Just in
Sounds
time.
Sounds nice, the nomad life.
I'd have to buy another beater minivan. That's always been the plan. If you're living in a beater minivan, then the worst thing that could happen is you have to get another beater minivan. So but this was a good van. I think it still is a good van. It just needs a CV joint axle thing. It'll be fine.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
But it's nice. The place I found to work on it is in Grand Junction, Colorado, if anyone's interested. It's in the middle of town, and so I think I can still crash in the van while they're waiting for the part or whatever. So I checked it out on Google Street View, and there's not they don't lock a gate or anything. I think that van will just be out there in the parking lot, and I can be like a, not exactly homeless, but like houseless, you know, like home free. Hanging out downtown, seeing what I mean. But hopefully they won't have to find the part or whatever. Or I could hit up the junkyard or something. But
has anybody here heard of V-Safe that the CDC brought out? It's an app. You report your side effects from the vaccine, And it also sends out reminders of your next dose. How convenient, right?
Well, at least they're acknowledging that there are side effects.
Yeah, they won't report them, I'm sure. It's like everybody thinks that, oh, yeah, somebody's finally going to, you know, actually keep track of our side effects. But I don't think it's that.
Well, they jabbed all the placebos, so it doesn't matter anymore. I guess we are the guinea pigs.
That's quite a thing.
Sorry, guys. I forgot to mute.
So, yeah, all that earlier wasn't, yeah, intended to suggest anyone has any special secret over anyone else of how to handle things at all. It's more just a reminder of fresh perspectives, really, isn't it?
We don't need to worry about that because we're not going to take it. So,
yeah, that's my stance. It's like, exactly. Once you've made that decision and you stand in that power, then what do you got to worry about in the end?
No worries. So we got Mr. Fakeologist and Original Simulant has joined.
Wow.
Got a whole big room today. Speak up, anyone. Oh, and beautiful dude, Missile.
How's the Original Simulant going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Hey,
very good.
Good.
That's good. Anybody gotten booster shot today?
I didn't get a booster, but I did end up having to get it in order to go to college. I got my first dose last week or a couple days ago.
Wow, is this the first psychologist to admit that?
What college are you going to?
Just the community college around here, NSCC, Nova Scotia Community College.
Oh.
Luciferian University. Well, how do you feel? Did you hold a magnet to your arm? Did you?
Oh, no, I didn't. I could do that now if I could find one.
Did it hurt?
No, it was the most nothing shot I've ever had. Oh, well, I mean, my arm was sore, like, later in the next day, but, like, the actual wow, shot itself was nothing.
You'll just put your hand up to the insider.
I am very worried about it.
Do you pick up the phone reception now that you have the nano carbon particles? You get, like, 5G everywhere you go.
Something like that.
He's almost all without a phone. Yeah.
No, he hears music. He hears music in his arm.
Blair's Pink Floyd 24/7. It's really annoying when I'm trying to go to sleep.
Especially the ads.
Oh, God.
You got to get another booster to get the ads to turn off.
Oh, I'm not looking. I'll tell you, I didn't want to get it, but like, I'm young. I don't have money. If I don't go to college, I will never have money. So, you know, they kind of had me by the balls in this whole vax thing.
I've seen like a couple of job boards that are, out there for people who don't want to get the vax. They have groups that are starting up of employers that are willing to take you on. You should look into that.
Yes. Well, the thing is, I'm in Nova Scotia.
Oh, but yeah, you have to look in your area. I mean, obviously.
Right. No, but sure. Well, that's what I'm saying. In my area, it's pretty, people are pretty asleep. I think they have like 70% of the population vax already. It probably is higher or something. But it's like the vast majority of people have taken it. So it's not as easy as just looking for an employer that, you know, is okay with non-vax. Cause I think it's been I'm not sure. It's been mandated here. So like you need a vaccine pass to get into like the movies or to go into restaurants and stuff. I'm not sure if it's gotten that bad for you guys.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure. I don't personally think there's any shame in caving. The problem is not with, you know, you're not the problem. The problem is the pressure itself. You know what I mean? Like, I can understand how you would, take that road. It's just sad that it's sad that you felt you had to do it. No, I mean, I get it as well. Like, it's like, there was a time where, you know, everybody would, like, people would start conversations asking me, oh, have you got the vaccine yet? And it was like, I had that a few times, and eventually I just kind of learned to just find some creative way to change the subject, like make like a loud noise or something, you know, and just get me the hell out of this.
Well, the real kicker is...
Start telling him you did get it and then fall to the ground.
Well, I don't like lying, so it's like...
sure.
I either answer truthfully and then they treat me like a leper, or I change the subject somehow.
Sure.
Pull a funny, you know, just interrupt it.
Well, the real kicker was I had my two best friends weren't allowed to hang out with me because I was unvaccinated. So I've been pretty like isolated for like a couple weeks now. It's been pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's really terrible. I've heard a lot about things like this. Like, I think it in many ways, like the kind of culture of restrictions is hitting young people like really hard, especially in schools. Like, some schools are, you know, taking things to extremes, like serious extremes. Like, I can't remember. I heard somebody talking about it the other day. Their kid, like, the kids weren't allowed to, like, if they made physical contact with one another, they'd be like punished. They'd be yelled at or something. And it's just, I mean, that kind of environment for a child is just sick.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm so glad that I'm the age I am and not a couple years younger, because it just, I look at all the rules they have for kids going into public school these days, and I'm like, man, that is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if I was like, I'm especially glad I'm not like a literal child right now, because like, I was diagnosed with ADHD, and I'll tell you, I don't think I could sit with a mask in a classroom when I was that young for 6 hours a day. I just don't think I could have done it.
Yeah.
Sounds horrible.
I mean, with ADHD, like, it's hard to even sit still for as long as people want you to sit still, let alone, follow all of these other rules.
Yeah, definitely. Also, is my mic audio all right? Am I coming through clearly?
Yeah, loud and clear.
It'd be probably better than mine.
Yes. But you're fine too. We can hear you perfectly fine.
Okay. But yeah, it's almost, you know, and this is reflecting on what we're saying earlier.
Did you just cut out?
Yeah, I can't hear critical anymore. I was wondering whether it was just me. I'll send him a DM. I mean, schooling is very strange in general. Like, I remember before all of this COVID stuff started happening, I was listening to some kids, teenagers on a bus kind of talking about their school, and I remember I heard one of them who said, "Oh, if I don't return this library book on time, they're going to put me in isolation." I was thinking, "What the hell's this?" And I managed to do a little bit of digging to find out what it was, and like find out that in the schools, like they're for something as minor as like a library, like as a late return of a library book, like they take a student and they isolate them from all the other students as punishment. I was thinking, like, I mean, school was rough for me, but things were getting stranger and kind of more creepy before COVID, so it's like, I can only imagine it's gotten a lot worse.
Yeah, these children are going through a lot with all the school shooter drills and just being not allowed to touch each other, not allowed to play, you know, at recess. All the crap they're putting them through is just to program them into the future world.
Well,
and
yeah,
they'll accept
for sure.
It. And it's sad because all these parents aren't standing up for the tyranny that's going on with their own kids. It's unreal.
Well, there's been a huge problem with the generation that's come up with the internet. There's been a huge problem in general with them, interacting with each other so much via social media. It's like less face-to-face contact. And I've noticed anecdotally, and I've spoken to other people who've talked about it, a reduction in empathy. There's less of a human connection. There's less, you know, when you're interacting with people online, there's less awareness of the human being behind the keyboard. You can communicate with them in whatever way you like. You can't see their facial expressions. You can't see their eyes, which are the window to their souls. There's a disconnect, and it creates a sort of a divide between people. And so I've noticed this kind of reduction in empathy and in nonverbal communication with young people.
Yeah, that started out with all the...
This is going to be getting worse with the masks and the lack of...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, physical contact and stuff. It's going to be getting even worse as young people are driven more, even more, to be socializing entirely separated from one another via the internet.
Well, you just have to look at
that first started with MySpace. They were conditioning people to, you know, separate themselves and just stay at home and talk to people online or whatever.
I think you just have to look at like Instagram and all the social media and how people act on those to see see what you were talking about the lack of empathy. People are so very shallow and materialistic these days. Nobody seems to care about anybody.
Yes, it's all me, me, me. It's narcissistic. People used to you know, when they would go on holidays, they would take a picture of something. Now they take a picture of their own face in front of the something. You know, everything is me, 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 and there's a lot less regard for other people.
There's one on Telegram, I think. I can't remember the name. IPS said it. But anyway, they give awards to people that were against vaccines that died of COVID. They're like celebrating the death. It's like, are you kidding me? Yeah, that's where it's gone.
It's a sacrifice for the greater good.
Yep. But, you know, again, not much of that is going on.
And virtuous.
And it is going on. But it's, again, it's just a further reminder for us to stop looking at that. It's not, yeah, it can't be our future.
Yeah, I think that Linda, when you talk about preparing people for like the future, I think that this empathy thing, this problem, this disconnect is kind of, it's by design, because it's a lot easier to divide people and to get people kind of, to separate into camps if they can't see each other, if they're, you know, living in this kind of emotional vacuum. So I think we're looking at a world where, in the future, where everybody's beliefs could be just formed entirely independent of, their interactions with real human beings in the real world. They can just be decided. Like they will no longer look at a person and see the person. They'll see whatever they're told the person is. And they won't even in the habit of looking at them as a human being anymore, just how they appear on the surface. People's perceptions and relationships will be even easier to control.
I saw an article that was talking, it was like a propaganda piece talking about, apparently, according to the article, it's bullshit, but according to the article, people misunderstand the Chinese social credit system, and it's not actually that bad, guys. And I think like that we'll be in a situation where almost like the episode
having its effect.
Yeah, I think we'll be in a situation where the social credit thing gets rolled out over in the West, and people will like treat it as like a pecking order thing, where like everyone wants to have the highest social credit score.
They'll think it's a good thing. They'll think it's entirely harmless, and they'll be excited by it. Right.
Black Mirror.
Yeah.
It's Black like Mirror. A Black Mirror episode. That's like indeed. One of the few I've seen.
I mean, the
That's
science fiction one. Has been warning us about all of this stuff for, you know, decades and decades.
Warning us. You mean conditioning us?
Well, possibly. I don't know.
Netflix.
No one's warning.
One on Netflix now. Sorry.
Yeah, but calling it conditioning, I suppose, which I would agree, but then, you know, that then implies that
programming,
it's
television. They don't even pretend it's a television programming.
More influence in the air, through the air.
Influenza.
I do feel as though with Black Mirror, with Charlie Brooker, I feel as though the message of Black Mirror is, look at this, this could happen, this probably will happen, it's absolutely horrible, so don't let it happen. Like, so I feel as though with Black Mirror, it's a war.
Yeah.
Hey everybody.
How's everybody? After the break.
Top-notch energies, Dr. Fusterclub.
Gord from Manitoba.
Fake Egg from Sweden.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody?
Hey.
Pretty good.
Very good. I'm really sad to hear BSD or BDM. You took the clot shot. I'm sad to hear. And you're a young man. You're right in the crosshairs of all this. How are you feeling? I guess that's the best question to ask you.
So I didn't really have any reaction to it. My mom didn't really kind of left it up to me, but my dad was super adamant that I get it. And that wasn't the reason I got it. The reason I got it was mostly because I can't go to school unless I get it. And my two best friends weren't allowed to hang out with me because I didn't have it. Mm-hmm. But my dad was coaching me on the way back. He was driving me home and he was like, okay, you're gonna make sure you have Advils or ibuprofens at home because you're gonna need them. And I took two when I got home and didn't feel nothing then. Still don't feel anything today. I think it was on the 25th. I am very worried about the second shot. Very worried.
Why aren't you worried about the first shot?
I was, but.
All the work we've done to show you the dangers of fakeologists, I think you're gonna have to turn your fakeologist membership card back in on the way out, if you don't mind.
Okay,
you know, it's his dad. His dad was wanting him to. I mean, geez.
How old is BDM? How old are you?
22.
Okay, you're an adult. You're a fully formed human. I know it's gonna be hard, but we're not sending you to Vietnam. We're just saying, don't get it. Now you got it. You can't undo it.
I know, and I wish I didn't have to, but I don't have to.
You can wait. Well,
I haven't scheduled my...
I can't cry over spilled milk for you. What's done is done, but it's... I wish I had one victory of just flipping one young person without coercion to the good
look,
side.
Look, Ab, I really feel bad for you.
I feel really bad.
I don't disagree that it's dangerous. I wish I didn't have to get it. I just don't know what I'm going to do from an economic perspective if I can't go to college, especially
There's no proof that college is your way out of poverty. There's just no way. Let's see if this plays. Listen to this.
We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes.
There you go. Did you get that? That's the FDA saying, well, how are we going to know how well this thing works on humans if we don't just give it to humans? It's a great point, isn't it? I mean, think of all these guinea pigs around the world that are out of a job now. Just all their jobs have gone to human beings now. No more testing for these guys.
I've been seeing nothing but articles about like the labor shortage and the labor shortage in North America, and it does make me happy that people seem to be fighting this. So like hopefully I might not have to take that second shot or those boosters. You know what I mean?
But why wouldn't you take the second? You still can't go to school unless you're fully vaccinated. Do you know what fully vaccinated means in the world today? Do you know what it means?
Doesn't it mean like two shots and several weeks after or something?
That's right. Two shots and 2 weeks later. So if you die or are injured after the second shot on the 13th day in the 23rd hour in the 59th minute, you will go down as an unvaccinated COVID patient. That's how it works.
I hate that.
Now, if you don't get the second shot, you will go down as you're unvaccinated officially.
Also, the CDC has announced the fourth shot is ready.
Wow, what the hell? What took them so long? I feel bad for you, BDM. I really do, but I really think that succumbing to the pressure is as hard as it is, and it's intense. And by the way, now the hospitals I'm reading are starting to fill up. And almost none of the people going in there have COVIDs. Can you imagine what their symptoms are?
Similar to COVID?
No. Anything related to ischemia, including black balls. You know how that guy, even if it's a fake story, you know how you would get black balls?
No, how?
It's all ischemia. Anything that chokes blood off to any area of your body, the area dies.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that was sketchy was when I went in to get it, they said, "Do you have any heart problems?"
So yeah, you're a young man.
They know.
Of course they know. And what if you said yes? Then what?
Well, I would have been lying.
No, but you should ask them. What if I say yes? You didn't have to say anything. You could just say, "What if I say yes? What is your advice? Because maybe I do have heart problems." Most 22-year-olds don't get checked out for heart problems unless they one day walk around and get severe chest pains. And even that's probably just indigestion or drinking too much beer. I mean, it's really crazy. And who gave you the shot, by the way? Was it a physician?
Or was it the guy at the gas station? I did. I mean, I didn't ask, but it seemed to be a nurse.
Yeah. Did you ask if she's medically trained or is she just wearing a blue smock? You know, this is crazy.
She was wearing a blue smock. I don't know if she was medically trained, but I believe in order to administer shots, you need to be a registered nurse or something.
Yeah, but you don't know. Did you get the white sheet on it, or did you get the informed consent paperwork with that? So you got to see all the adverse effects. Did they present that?
No, they didn't even give me a white sheet. All they said was, "Do you consent to Pfizer?"
Wow, it's like the new god.
That sounds like a ritual.
Yeah, it is.
Like a chant.
Have you watched one movie about vaccine damaged children?
I've watched some stuff on it, but not. I wouldn't say I've watched like a full hour long documentary or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So if you do get myo-or pericarditis, which is inflammation of the heart, which really will render you a patient for life, would you consider that a worthwhile risk? Because the risk, all you've done is reduce the risk of any symptoms from a cold. And you've got a passport for now to go to school.
Do we know that for a fact, that it's reducing symptoms for a cold, really?
We don't know. No. They claim it's 95% effective at that. But how do they even measure that? How do you measure less symptoms from a cold? Because
with the sniffles, they're just going to tell you, oh, that's not a cold, that's allergies, or that's, you know.
Yeah. How do you count sniffles?
Are you sure? I feel like in this day and age, they're looking. If you went in with the sniffles, they'd just tell you it was COVID if they could.
Right. Absolutely. They did that for a year before they came out with the vaccine and all that stuff.
I really feel bad for you, BDM, because you kind of fell for the pressure. I know you probably don't read the blog, because I've been pumping out a lot of vaccine damage.
It's not that I don't read the blog. It's that I don't know what to do if I don't have it. I don't know how I'm going to be viable and not be like living on the streets with no money if I don't get it.
Well, BDM, it's like I said earlier to you, and I completely stand by it, that there is a huge amount of pressure to get the vaccine. And I don't think that there's any shame in you caving in. There isn't. And the problem is not with you kind of giving into the coercion. The problem is with the coercion itself. So I completely understand that you were forced into a position where you felt as though it was your only option. And sort of telling you that you should have just, you know, stood your ground and you know, just unshackled yourself from all of these psychological restraints, it would be akin to telling a person, why didn't you just leave your abusive partner? You know, it's in reality, it's very complex. And I think that the problem is not with you. The problem is with this coercion.
Well, but that is the problem. We do need to leave our abusive partner, the government.
We absolutely do. But when you
capitulate, all you're doing is guaranteed more abuse. That's all you've done, honestly.
You're welcoming in your system.
Right. We're fighting for a system that doesn't serve us. Why do we keep begging them to allow us in? It's like, here we have a chance to get out, get away. We can run.
It's sad. I feel bad for you. I know why you did it, and I'm sure my children would do it if I didn't threaten their livelihood.
They call it Stockholm Syndrome.
I'm doing reverse psychology. I'm using the same psychology of threats to my own children, and I know they're going to hate me for years, I'm sure. They will. I have no problem with that, though.
But you know, what they hate you for is like BDM was saying, you know, because they're the chill. You can't hang out with your friends. Like, I had this issue with my daughter. Oh, I can't hang out. And her friends are, blocking people from visiting them if they're not vaccinated. It's sad. It's really sad that, you know, it's all about your social life but that's the thing. We have to stand up to that. We're the only ones who can say to ourselves, validate yourself. You're the only one who can give you that energy to do something different, to be bigger than that, to be better than that, and have have faith in yourself and give yourself that gift.
I'm not even worried about that. Yeah. I'm worried about real effects, real negative effects, real long-lasting effects. They are real. Obviously, they're not one in a million. I wouldn't even say they're one in 100,000. I think they're a lot worse than you think. And I think ischemia is real. Blood clotting is just the body's reaction to getting rid of poison. And the more poison, the more clotting. And when you look into ischemia and microclotting, you won't even know where the clots are occurring. Like, I'm so convinced there's no such thing as a safe vaccine ever. Right from the beginning of when they renamed it from inoculation to vaccination. Inoculation had such a bad reputation. They changed the word. They changed the name of what didn't change any of the formulas, really. The same old poison. So I would just, for me, that's where I draw the line. I don't care about the social pressure. I just don't want any long-lasting clotting problems right down to my eyeballs. Can you imagine what a microclot will do to your vision? I'll tell you what it'll do. You'll go blind, period. Not reversible, which to me, going blind is one of my greatest fears ever since I was diagnosed being myopic, you know, glasses. So there's just too much risk. Way too much risk for zero gain. And I still think you gotta hunker down and wait for this FireNado to pass over. It will take time. This is a war. It will take time. It's not gonna blow over this week or next week. You have to wait till the vast majority of people figure out what's going on. And people are going to have to die for people to realize what's going on. And wait till they go for the children. The children are just being sacrificed right now. You're going to have to wait 6 months till you're going to get screaming mothers with their children in their arms running into emergency rooms with limp or non-responsive children. You're going to have to wait for that picture. It's coming, though. It's coming.
Yeah, but that sort of pressure was used with COVID as well, selling a similar sort of fear. So it's I understand exactly what you're saying, and I see it as possible. But it sounds like a similar story being sold just to our crowd rather than their crowd.
But my question is, would that even sell enough people for it to make a difference, right? Because if people start dying of the vaccine, you know they're just going to blame it on COVID.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're going to treat it more like that sacrifice for the greater good. They're going to be, like Kostenfuck was saying.
You're right. They're already blocking anything with vaccine injury is not mentioned, period. Not even, it's completely deflected right now. So, of course, they're going to do their damnedest. You can't even search for Let's Go Brandon on the internet right now. It's completely suppressed. And of course, it's super easy to do when you control most of the flow of information. So Google is not going to help you find these injuries. You're going to have to look a little bit harder, ask around. You know, it's unfortunate. Yeah,
again, I'm not saying I disagree with you, but it doesn't also mean it's real. It just means that information is being suppressed, you know, which feeds into it, then us believing it's real as well. There's a whole lot at play you've got to kind of consider at times.
Well, I consider all the diseases in the last 50 years that are officially no cause known, or we're looking into the genetic aspect of it, that really have never been explained, including type 1 diabetes, which is ischemia of the pancreas. Once you kill off the pancreas, and it doesn't happen right away. So there's so many diseases. We're not just talking about COVID. You know, finally, we are at mass.
It's the same. We're
mass vaccinating. We're mass vaccinating adults now. People that can talk, people that can bear witness. When we mass vaccinated infants and small children, they can't give us feedback. And this is the Hail Mary that I've been talking about. Now that we're doing all the adults, including adults that are frail, that are really super sick, already from pharmaceutical poisoning, now we're going to get some witnesses. They're doing the whole world, so there's going to be more witnesses than ever. So you're going to have to be patient. People are so impatient with life.
I would agree with that. Hello.
Hello. Guys, I have to run to the store to grab a pack of smokes. I'll still be listening. I won't be talking for a bit.
All right. See you around.
All right. Well, keep us updated on your health, if you don't mind, because we are concerned for your health.
Trust me, I am too. I'm scared.
Don't be scared, man. You sound like a smart guy. Just keep strong in general, whatever you do.
Yeah, I hope things get better for you, man.
I think there'll be a niche for the purebloods, and we'll have our own parallel alternative society of people that have not been genetically modified.
That sounds like the other side is saying.
Like several movies like that. There's like, it's just like you could have a matinee night and have people come over and watch all the
But we're all genetically modified according to their standards.
And we've all been vaxxed.
We've been eating genetically modified seeds, you know, what we eat from seeds for a very long time. So you could argue that job's already done if we believe in such a thing.
I'm not a total mutant. So. I'm like basically human-esque, you know, so.
Oh yeah, the mask goes on long after the threat of Rona is gone. Said, oh yeah, we'll never take it off long after the spread of Rona is gone. The mask on.
If love makes the world go round, a pandemic can bring it to a standstill.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Mask on.
Life does go on.
Silence is wonderful. The authenticity of silent, though there are several people here.
We're all meditating.
Feeling.
That's where all the answers are. That's where all the answers lay.
I'm in mourning for one of our members.
I'm still alive.
Yeah, but that's...
I'm not worried about you. Well, guys, just so you know, we can now play audio from Fakeologist, from Fakeotube, by the way. Just wanted to point that out to the good membership here. Mm-hmm. Any Fakeotube audio, you use the same old commands, and you just got to get the URL from the download button off the Fakeotube page, but it does work. So enjoy. I played one already, and it does work as far as I can tell.
Is that going to be called the Rollo bot?
No, because I just used the old bot, and I figured out how to use it, and it does work. So, no, not a penny was spent.
Is that the Fred Boat patron?
Yeah, it's Fred Boat. Good old Fred pulled through again.
All righty then. Cool. Well, I got to get going. It was a good chat. Thank you, Critical Thinker, for we did start off with a bit of a topic, but
By the way, Purple Play, are you going to accept moderator status? Would you like to? You were recommended by Esoteric because he says he doesn't want to do it no more.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I spoke with Benoit about it. He said he was going to talk to Velset. So, I guess I'll take over for the Rickster.
All right, I'll throw Rick out of the moderator lounge, no problem, and I'll make sure you're in. Congratulations. Just give us your social security number so we can deduct the taxes.
Deduct the what?
The tax.
Oh, okay, cool.
And show your vax pass.
I was just going to say, as long as I don't got a vax for it, I'm good. Oh, wow.
That's what they're going to be called.
Already, and you'll notice you have a new room.
I just got all the perks.
Yeah, and there's a special room where we talk about the other members where they can't see.
I'm sure that's the best part.
We call it the behind their backs room, it's called.
All right. Well, it's been good. I'll check it out, and we'll talk soon. Everyone else, take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we threw it in a bit of a different direction earlier, if you listen back.
What did you talk about?
Just different perspectives on things and how to navigate things with from a more positive energy or a negative energy, what you're focusing on, things like that. But it was all a bit loose, really. It was just a general chat on that vibe.
Well, I listened to Pam.
Did we lose Ab?
He's here. Linda,
I thought you were saying something.
No, I'm here. Maybe I took
my phone died before. My phone died at an inopportune moment, but I'm back.
Mike coming.
Maybe it cut out for all of us. Yeah.
Am I coming through, guys?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Pam Popper's in Ohio.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm back. Still out having a smoke, but I'm back. So, hi, guys.
So your parents let you smoke, but want you to get the vaccine.
It's a bit absurd, yeah. Pro tip, Pro tip, don't ever smoke cigarettes. They're nasty and you can't get off them.
As we said, this has nothing to do with health.
Of course it's not. Well, it is in a way, because you're just, whatever they're suggesting, it's 180, so therefore there's a clear indication of how to be healthy.
Yeah, but it is a religion at this point, with all the health ministers preaching.
Yep.
Definitely. Now, Linda, did you hear what I said? Pam Popper, she's in Ohio, and she was saying that things don't seem as awful in Ohio. You guys didn't really get the full tyranny in Ohio. Is that true?
Yep, that's true. And in my little county, we're just, most people around here are just ignoring it. You'll see a couple people in masks, maybe the elderly, things like that, just because, you know, they watch a lot of Fox News or whatever. But yeah, most people around here are just, I mean, but see, I'll never know who's vaxxed or unvaxxed anymore. You see what I mean? Because the vaxxed are hiding their, even though I know who got vaxxed, at least in my friends list on Facebook, you know what I mean? Because they were out there posting all their vax cards at the beginning of this. But now it's like they won't say anything about the vax. I think they're at the point of where they're disbelieving the whole bullshit, but they don't want to admit they're wrong. You see what I mean? So they're just ignoring the fact that they took the vax.
Linda, do you know anyone that's vaccine injured or damaged? Or dead?
Our county commissioner here, she was vaxxed, and she has diabetes, and I think she's still in the hospital.
I know.
I don't know all of her symptoms or whatever, but she ended up in the ICU, having breathing problems and all that stuff. And, yeah, so I know her. And then, my boyfriend's boss, his father-in-law, he got the vax, and then he ended up with blood clots and dying, which there's no way to prove that it was the vax, but I know it was, because he was pretty healthy before that. You see what I mean? And I mean, how can you not think that it could be that?
Well, if it was advertised as straight up poison, if he drank bleach and he died of clotting, would you believe it was the bleach?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. But they put it in. They're not going to say it was the vax. You see what I mean? So, and their family
they're not
going to
say it was the vax. Of course. How could something
so good?
Yeah,
but his whole family.
I know.
His whole family.
Isn't it amazing? It's all psychological. It's all psychological. If you drank gas and then died of anything a week later, would you say it was just a coincidence or the gas? Just amazing.
Yeah, but like I said, his whole family is vaccinated, and
could be anything.
They are not relating it to the vax at all.
And that is the essence of the defect in the human brain. That's all it is. There's a defect in almost every human brain that cannot draw a line between A and B.
It's the argument to authority.
Yeah.
That because you're not qualified to have an opinion. So anything you've never heard of must be bullshit, or anything that hasn't been bandied about. I mean, with the guys with the talking heads. I mean, that must be bullshit because the people that know things are smart and they're journalists or they're scientists or whatever. And that's all it takes. You just have to. Yep, everything's you've got a good bead on things, like from Will Smith from a movie. So you think you've got a really good bead on everything, don't you? And they do. If they've never heard of it before, then it must be bullshit. And then if they have heard of it before, then they can like repeat it like a parrot to everyone because it's the source is so good, and it's the New York Times it's like critical thinking is just shriveling into a little.
Hey, Foster, who do you know that was injured? You were going to say, I heard you.
Yeah, so I'm in a garage band. We play Rush covers and stuff, and we play like the whole first side of 2112. It's pretty awesome. And there's but it takes five of us to play it. So anyway, but yeah, there's one of the guys' wives is sick home with COVID and fully vaccinated, and another guy's wife is sick home fully vaccinated with COVID positive, and then my really good friend Jim's wife is on blood thinners now. The doctor said that he saved her life by bringing her in, and they did a CT scan, and there was blood clots, and so now she's on blood thinners. It's like a worst nightmare come true. So that's just my very, I mean, I don't even know that many people. I mean, that's just my very personal, I mean, less than 20 people that I even know personally that would even tell me their health status. I mean, there's three people right in the, I mean, so, and I just learned about that a few days ago, so.
How old is the woman?
She's a few years old. She's like 57, 58, and she's like a dance, she's like a dean of the dance school, part of the dance school, and she eats clean and everything. She's never had any trouble, except that she's had ovarian cancer. They can't have kids.
Well, it's too late now anyway.
She gets all her shots. But they had to rush her to the hospital.
Did the connection between the injection and the clotting?
I think it was probably, I don't know how many weeks, probably a couple months or so since she had had her second shot. I'm sure she got it right on time.
Yeah,
so,
but those
personal experiences, it's not safe, it's not effective, so it's just nuts to, so anyway.
Did they draw any connection between the injection and her clotting?
Well, it's this marriage that's been split right in half, like a Jim like listens to Bigfoot podcasts and stuff like that, and then Melanie is she's a very conformist person, and so Jim is convinced that it's from the shot, and she's like afraid of bed bugs. They've got dehumidifiers all over the house, I mean, to keep bed bugs away, and that was before COVID, and now so anyway, it's just a magical case of a marriage just divided right in two. So how they're keeping it together, I don't know, but they're anyway.
So he sees a connection, she doesn't.
I don't know. He just told me the news. I talked to him on the phone. He told me that the band is not playing because two of the wives have COVID and they're fully vaccinated, and Melanie, his wife, is I think she's still working and everything and wearing her mask and everything, and she's on blood thinners now. They put her on blood, and that's what saved her life, is she came to the hospital and they put her on blood thinners. So
yeah, I got you. Can you send me an MP3 of your 2112 cover? Because that is epic.
That is an epic. I don't know if you want to listen to it. It's pretty ragged. I think I have one.
I'll treat it as moonshine.
We didn't have a drummer, so we had like this guy playing djembe that was just kind of filling in some fills and stuff. But it's pretty solid. I mean, it definitely sounds like a bunch of stoned guys trying to play 2112 for about 25 minutes. So
are you out of the orchestra now? Does the orchestra have to be in?
I am on a leave of absence, so I think if we flatten the curve and if everyone joins together, I might be back in the orchestra next year. I'm on unpaid leave of absence, but my picture is still there on the website and everything, so...
Yeah, you're going to be.
I've got some cred. I've got some street cred.
When you drop off the website, you'll know it's over.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like the saying farewell to Babylon. I should write a novel or something. Isn't kind of. But I will survive. I'm like fairly popular, so they're not going to let me die in the desert in my broken down minivan or anything. It'll be fine. But it's lovely. I'm in the Rabbit Valley, and everything's. And the tow truck's coming in the morning, and I think I crunched a axle, CV axle. So that's not an incredibly, that's not like a total your car kind of a repair. So I should know. I should by tomorrow. I should know more about the journey. It's all about the
journey.
Are you
in the Juflaws campground? Juflaws?
Are you looking? No, I should have. That's where I should have gone, but there was a big mud hole, and I went down Rabbit Valley Trail and bottomed out my axle. So now I'm not going anywhere. So the tow truck's coming. I'm on Rabbit Valley Trail, like a mile, like a, probably less than a mile south of I-70. So, but it's lovely. It's great. It's a great place to break down. And I'll just, and then I'm taking it to Mueller Automotive in Grand Junction. And it was like the perfect, I had that exact number of miles on my insurance free towing. So I went right there and I called like eight different guys and finally found them.
To bring you this important message.
Hello everyone, this is the Verbal Gambit from Montreal, Canada. And you're listening to Fakeologist Audio on Fakeologist.com.
Hey, that's a new guy.
Right on.
Oh, yeah, I remember. So I'll be hanging out downtown Grand Junction next couple of days until they'll probably have to order the part. I'll probably have to dig around all weekend in Grand Junction. And then Monday, they'll fix the axle, and then I'll be back on the road. But Rabbit I'll post when the sun goes down. I'll post the awesome sunset in Rabbit Valley. I haven't seen any rabbits. There were some insane migratory birds of some sort that were never heard a sound like that before. I'm okay. I'm broken down, but the tow truck's coming in the morning. I'm just hanging out. Thanks, though.
How are you connected, then?
Sorry,
how
do you have internet? I have excellent internet. I have 5 bars.
Oh, like data on your phone?
Yeah, I've got a good connection. I'm I can see the highway. I can see I-70 from here, so there's plenty of towers around, I'm sure. And most importantly, the tow truck can come tomorrow, so I'll be on the road. Yeah, it's perfect. It's like probably 70 degrees, partly cloudy. Occasionally, someone comes by on their mountain bike, and everyone's friendly. And I haven't seen any rabbits. It's called Rabbit Valley. Yeah, it's such a perfect day, except when your minivan's broken down. Besides that, it's...
So you live in your minivan, you said?
Well, I live out of my minivan. I camp and travel out of my minivan. If you say that you live in your minivan, it's like you spend a lot of time in your minivan. But usually I just travel to destinations, and then I don't really spend a lot of time in the minivan. I get out and frolic about the landscape. But I do have a nice, comfy, I've taken out the back seat, so I've got a bed. I have all kinds of solutions for taking showers and using the bathroom and all that kind of stuff people ask about. It's really not that much. You can stay clean and do all the things and not have to work so much if you're lazy and you live in a minivan like Chris Farley. I don't think Chris Farley lived in a... I don't think he lived in a minivan. That would be a step beyond living in a van down by the river. You know what I'm talking about. But I think it's a pretty good option. I think if people en masse, if they all just took a mini, just took the back seats out of their minivans and just headed for the hills, I think good things would happen in that case. Whether that's a last resort or a first resort, there's plenty of people that have already done that. So not so scary once you meet some people that have degraded themselves so much as to just not have a permanent address of any sort. So, but there are some pretty respectable people, and even before people were desperate or whatever, they were called snowbirds. People retire and then they sell their house and they get a big RV and they live at campgrounds back and forth with the seasons, and they're called snowbirds. So, but there's more working age snowbirds these days. So that's
all, folks.